Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Welcome to Wheels Off, a show about the messy reality of the creative life. That's when it got wheels off. We started up and we ain't gonna stop. Oh, I said I like you, like it or not. That's when it got wheels off. There's something about Kate Micucci you just can't put your finger on. She's magical. She just exudes this positivity. It's part of what makes her so funny, so effortlessly funny, as part of the comedy duo Garfunkel and Oates. It's part of what makes her such a great voiceover actor. If you have kids, maybe you've heard her on countless cartoons, but she's Velma on Scooby-Doo, which I just think is so cool. But when you spend time with Kate, that comes through. It's this beam of light quality that she embodies. And it is only heightened by the fact that right now she is incredibly pregnant. That's not a secret. She's come out publicly and told the world that she's growing a human being inside of her, which is in itself straight up magic. But when Kate Micucci does it, oh my God. I got to sit down with her in the condo in Hollywood that she shares with her husband, who's a super cool musician, Jake Sinclair. They're such a great couple. It's really sweet to see them together, and I'm so excited that they're bringing a tiny offspring into the world. This interview that she and I did was weird for me because I screwed up. When I do these Wheels Off interviews, most of the time, I'm carrying a little recording device around and clipping lavalier microphones onto the collar of my guest and then sitting with them in some really comfortable setting. That's my ideal. I've done them in recording studios and in sort of sterile, nondescript office spaces, but I feel like it's best when I can sit down in a comfortable space for my guest, you know, their living room, which is the situation here with Kate Micucci, even though it's, I think, a sort of temporary housing, non-permanent housing for her and Jake. It was still a comfortable space. And she was so nice to meet me, despite being so pregnant. And we sat down and we had a great conversation, which is, you know, I would have expected nothing less because I think the world of Kate, I think she's so interesting. And like I said, so just incredibly positive. So we're 12 minutes into this conversation and she's funny and open and all the things that I would ever want out of a Wheels Off guest. And I look down just to make sure that everything is working technically and realize that I never hit the proper button to start recording. My face flushed. I started sweating just buckets. I felt incredibly embarrassed. Even just now remembering it, I'm flushed with shame. But it's Kate Micucci. She's not going to hold my feet to the fire, even if she's as pregnant as it gets and it's late. And she was so cool about it. I hit the right button. We reset the interview and started over. We had a laugh about it. We both agreed after the fact that perhaps it was a better interview for having restarted. And I'm so grateful for her. You know, I feel like all the guests I'm lucky enough to speak to on Wheels Off are people that would probably be pretty cool about a technical malfunction, even though I was personally responsible for It wasn't really technical. It was me screwing up. But she was the ultimate in kindness. And of course, because she's Kate Micucci. She's an actor. She's a comedian. You may know her from Scrubs, a TV series that used a lot of my and the 97's music over the years. You might know her from The Big Bang Theory. She's been in a bunch of really cool, super funny movies, a bunch of TV shows. She now does a ton of voiceover acting as well. And I'm just so grateful that I got to sit down and pick the brain of the great Kate Micucci. So please welcome to Wheels Off, Kate Micucci. Welcome to Wheels Off. Once again, Kate Micucci.
Hi.
I'm using borrowed equipment, and I'm going to blame it on that because I didn't hit the button enough times, and I didn't want to look at the machine to make sure it was going, and it wasn't. So we just had 12 minutes of conversation that we didn't record.
It was all really boring stuff.
It was like a dry run. My face is super flushed
now. No, don't even worry. Are you kidding?
Okay.
Oh, wait, it's going, right? We're good?
Yes. So the numbers are going. That's the big thing. Kate Micucci we're in your apartment.
Yeah.
And we're here with your sweet dog.
Yeah, that's Claire. She's
Claire is so sweet and cute.
Us.
And boy, I'm really embarrassed right
now. No, you know what? Here's the thing. I can make this sound like we never said we're gonna make it sound like we never said any of this stuff.
Okay.
We can just start like you know, take two. And now it's going to be like even more.
Would it be more comfortable if we moved up onto the couch?
It'll be like a whole new thing.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
God.
So I should say, and we were talking about this, but this is sort of like a very much an interim apartment where we're here temporarily, and it's like a very strange feeling because it doesn't quite feel like me, but it's just like, you know, it's fine for now. I describe the place as a divorced dad meets a resort. It's like, it's not, it's a... You know, it's a fine place, but, yeah, it's not like, you know, it doesn't have my, like, stuff in it, you know?
So we've gotten to be friends for about 15 years.
I was a huge fan of yours.
Aww.
And I'll never forget when my roommates had a bunch of CDs and, the Instigator mm-hmm. was there and I was like, oh, who's this guy? Because, like, that cover is so striking. And I was like, who is this person?
Too striking.
And then I was like, I love this album. And I was obsessed with it.
Aww.
Actually, I should tell the story about how, you know, when the old Largo was closing.
That's what I remember is that my very last time I ever stepped foot in the old Largo, which, listeners, you may have heard me talk about this before. It was a really magical place in Hollywood.
Yeah, it was amazing.
The hub of my Hollywood wheel. And I loved it so much. But my very last time I was ever there, I feel like I remember meeting you. You told me about Garfunkel and Oates.
Yep.
And I thought, oh my God, this person is so fun and cool and exciting. And then I was like, yeah, but I'm gone. I now live in New York. So see you all later. And this place is gone and everything's changing.
And what was happening on my side of that is I knew I was going to New York. It was my first time doing like a real movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was for this Disney movie called When in Rome. I was going to be in New York for 3 months. And so I knew I was going to miss the closing of Largo. So I was like, oh, the last show I'll go to see is Rhett Miller. Like, I love that guy. And I'd never seen you perform. And so as I was leaving, the door was right by the stage.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I just want to say it was a great show. And also, this is my last time here at the old Largo. You know, well, we didn't call it the old Largo at that point. At Largo. And I guess that was your last time there as well.
Yeah.
And then cut to how, I mean, that had to have been 5 or 6 years later. The old Largo is then turned into this, like, very hip club.
Yeah.
And do you remember this part?
So maybe that's when you told me about Garfunkel and Oates, because maybe it wasn't already...
Well, we had a nice little conversation right at that doorway.
Yeah.
So I think maybe I told you about Garfunkel and Oates
then. Because you were just starting to do the TV show when I ran into you.
Yes, so then...
The new...
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, and I'm about to walk into the door of the new club that is the old Largo. And I'm like, wow, the last time I was here, gosh, like, I went to go see Rhett Miller. Like, that was so wild. And, like, those memories. And I opened the door, and there you are.
As if I had never moved.
It was so crazy.
I love stuff like that.
Me too. It's, like, meant to be stuff. And we hung out that night, and it was great. And it was just like, what are the odds?
Oh,
it was so cool.
That's so sweet. And it's funny, just so many things happen. Okay, so in the interim, I always start off these interviews by asking, what creative project are you working on right now? And how does it light you up? And I know the answer, but for the edification of our listeners, will you tell them why you're so lit up at the moment?
I'm so lit up and overheated because I am pregnant. I'm going to have a kid in 2 months. So that's been the project I've been working on, I guess. But yeah, it's a whole new world. My first kid. So I've wanted to be a mom for forever. I always thought I'd be the cool aunt because I was such a tomboy. So like, yeah, the idea of actually having a baby seemed so ladylike that like I was like, oh no, when I was a kid, like I'll be an aunt. But then when I was about 20, I was like, oh yeah, no, I really want to be a mom.
And you did babysit. So you,
I babysat a ton. Yeah. And I would get really attached to the kids. Like, aww, they were like, yeah, I feel like that's really where my like mom instinct kicked in or something, where I was like, oh, I've got to do this, like, yeah, you know, for myself someday. But I also was like, well, I have to build a career. So it's a lot of things that have to go in place. And I would have done it by myself. I was gearing up to do that. I froze my eggs and everything, like thinking like, I'm not going to just like pick some random dude, like, I need to have a kid.
Yeah.
I got married 2 years ago almost. So
I remember when, yeah, I first saw you with Jake, I remember thinking, this is perfect. Like, you guys just looked like you were drawn together. Like,
yeah,
someone...
that's sweet of you to say.
Yeah.
I feel like we were, it's interesting because we had so many mutual friends.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we hadn't met before. It took a dating app for us to meet, which is really funny.
I didn't know that.
We met on Raya. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, I feel like it was just sort of like, you know, not to sound so cliche, but it was different. It just like clicked right away. I was like, oh, this is something that I've not experienced before. But yeah, so it's kind of nice to be like, all right, well, now we're starting our life together and going to bring a kid into it. I hope he's a musical kid. I think, yeah, Jake's a musician, so... yeah, we'll see. Who knows?
Since I've known you, I feel like you work so much and you are so, well, I would say focused, but there are so many different media in which you work. So right now, in the midst of being 7 months pregnant, you're also still working all,
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, I've been working. It's strange. Like, I, over the summer, did a, you know, I like did some movies, just like small parts in movies, but they were really cool parts. So that, yeah, was really fun. And like, I didn't feel like I was slowing down at all. And then I did an episode of Mom in the summertime, which I had the best time. So I went back last week and did another episode of Mom, which is a sitcom, which is my favorite thing to do because I love having the studio audience. And it's like, it's just, I don't know, it's like the most electric feeling. I just like, I guess I really get a high off of an audience. I'm sure you know that feeling, of course. So yeah, I haven't really slowed down aside from my body's now telling me like, slow down. Yeah. Like, I get really winded and sometimes walking, I actually like will be walking the dog and then I have to like sit on the grass for a couple minutes. Oh. And the dog is so sweet. She just sits there with me and waits. But yeah, I mean, the doctor was like, you got to chill. Like, when are you going to stop working? But now I think I'm kind of hitting a point where I feel like I have to, like, physically. But like, today I went to Scooby-Doo. I do voiceover. And then I was recording songs with my writing partner, Ricky Lindholm. She and I have a duo called Garfunkel & Oates. And we've been writing a lot of songs for two separate projects, neither of which I can talk about yet. But they've been a blast. And we've been working our butts off. So it's been, you know, the thing is, like, thankfully with music and writing, it's mostly stationary, you know, yeah, at least at this stage of the game.
What do you find yourself writing on now, mostly ukulele or guitar or keyboard?
With these songs, it's mostly been piano, I think.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
God, that's got to be great for the baby and they're hearing piano.
Well, it's so funny because here in this apartment, we only have a keyboard, mm-hmm, in there. And Jake was like, oh no, we need the kid to be able to hear it. So he went out and got that amp, which is the like height of a chair. And so I sit on the amp and then I play. But yeah.
Oh yeah, so the vibration actually,
yeah,
goes into your
body.
Oh, that's, yeah, fantastic.
That's what his plan was. Well, yeah, I don't know.
That's really sweet.
But then he was playing bass, so that's why it's out there.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big believer in in utero listening, you know, whatever, like once you're at the later stages of the pregnancy. I remember I read something about it. And so when Max was in Erica's belly, for want of a more appropriate anatomical term, I would go in and sing up against her. I'd sing every night. I would sing "I Can't Help Falling in Love with You."
Oh, that's so sweet.
And then after he was born, I would sing it to him at night. And still to this day, he'll be 16 this week. Still to this day, not every night, but if he and I are, if I'm putting him to bed and we're like bonding, I'll just lean in and I'll sing it to him. And it's
so cute.
It breaks my heart every time. Like this moment of connection that goes back to before he was born, when it gets to the bridge of that song. I'm sorry, I know this is all about me. When it gets to the bridge of that song and he says, take my hand, or the third verse, take my hand, take my whole life too. Starting when he was a baby, he would reach out and his little hand would grab my hand. And now he'll do that with his actual giant man hand. And it's,
oh
my God, it breaks my heart. I love him so much. So,
and he's like a mini you. That's the other thing. He looks so much like you. It's crazy.
Well, he's very much his own man, but he's sweet and he's beautiful and he's caring and he's funny as hell. You're going to have so much fun. You're going to be a great mom.
Oh, thanks for saying that. I hope so. I'm excited for it. But yeah, your kids are awesome.
I love you.
We had that time at the Troubadour where my brother was. It was really neat because it was like me and my brother hanging with your two kids. And how many years apart are they?
They're 2.5 years apart.
Yeah, and my brother and I are 2 years apart. So there was like something about that. We're like, oh yeah, you know, we're many years apart. You know,
but yeah,
but it was like really cool to be like, yeah, we're siblings hanging out, right? It was just such a fun hang with them.
They loved you, and then Soleil got
locked in the bathroom.
She got locked in the bathroom at the world famous Troubadour.
That was so funny.
She's a little, you know, she's got some anxiety. She's a sensitive kid, and she was in there and she felt trapped. And you were so sweet. You talked her through. You got her rescued. You brought the security in, and they opened it up. And she always talks about you like a savior.
Oh, that was quite a time. I mean, it was like really funny too. Like we were passing notes back and forth and under the door, and you're on the stage and you're rocking out, and you just like, you know, obviously have no idea that upstairs here we are having a little bit of a moment. And then so my brother ran and got the security guy, and he shows up with like just this ring of keys, and none of them are working. And so he's like, I'm gonna have to bust down the door, and this is all while you're singing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And we were like, okay, move to the back of the room so the door is gonna bust open, and don't, you know, go as far as you can. And she did. And then we just told funny stories, you know, made her feel better. That's sweet. And then I'll never forget, you were great because, oh no, who's at the door? We never have visitors. Hang on, hang on. This could be exciting or not.
Wheels off fans, hang on. We may have to edit out this.
Or it might be really interesting.
From Amazon.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. Okay, here we go.
She's walking to the door. She's looking through the people.
Hey, how's it going? Good. Oh, package?
Yeah, I saw the guy from FedEx and they gave it to me, so.
That's so nice. Thank you so much.
Put a sticker on it.
One of her neighbors with a French accent is handing her a package.
Oh, you're very so sweet. Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
Thank you, you too.
How nice is that?
That's a really nice neighbor.
It's one of your neighbors.
And that Jake got new pants. And the neighbor signed for FedEx. That's very sweet. Apartment living can be good.
That's really great. But anyway, I remember as soon as I found out you were pregnant, I thought about the interaction you had with my kids, and I just thought, oh, you were built for this. You're a very kind person.
Oh, well, thanks. And you know, I was going to say in that moment where you did your set, and then it was in between the encore and the Troubadour. You know, you ran up those stairs, and we were up in the green room, and so I was like, Dad, I got locked in the bathroom. And you were so sweet. You could see she was upset. And you were like, I've got to go play 2 more songs, but then I promise we'll talk about it. And you were so like calming to her. And I was like, that is such a good dad. You're such a good dad.
Well, you know, that's the trick, though, is that we're all in this together. We all work together. And I do think that our generation maybe has it a little better figured out than maybe the previous ones in terms of like, I'm not controlling you. I'm your partner. You know, just life is hard.
But still, you gotta like, I'm sure, lay down the laws sometimes.
So you, well, yeah, of course. So you grew up in a small town in Pennsylvania.
Yep, Nazareth, Pennsylvania. It was, when I was younger, it was known for two things, because Mario Andretti is there, and the IndyCar races used to happen there. Yeah. They had once a year a big race, but now it's a abandoned racetrack. And also Martin Guitar, which is, I didn't realize how special that really was until I moved to LA and became friends with so many musicians.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, no, Martin's like 4 minutes from my house. All like, when you're in high school, you could always get a job making strings.
No way.
Yeah, it was just like not a big deal. And then it's like, oh, that's a huge deal. Like, you know.
That's pretty
And they've
funny.
Been so nice to me and given me a bunch of my ukuleles, which is cool. But
So I just kind of want to, I'm always fascinated by the idea of if there's an epiphany moment, and how does one know that one is destined to be a creative person and make that, devote their life to creating things?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure, I feel like a lot of people probably feel this way, where it's like, you know, when you're little, you are creative. Like, I feel like every person is in some way. You have an imagination, and, you know, for one reason or another, people, you know, every kid is drawing, you know, for the most part, or, you know, and I always have this theory that, like, if there was a piano in every house, every kid would be playing it, but not everybody has one, but we did. I thought a piano, because, like, we had one, my grandma had one, my aunt had one, so I just thought that it was like a bathroom. Like, I thought and I remember going into a house and going, where's your piano? Like, and they were like, what? And I was like, where's your piano? Like, don't you have a piano? Like, that's just as much as, you know, you need a stove and you need a piano, you know?
But, I love that so much.
And they were
always,
you know, they weren't fancy, these little tiny, like, spinet, like, 1960s kind of pianos that we all had. But yeah, I mean, I just feel lucky that when I was a kid, like, it probably sounds cheesy, but I'm doing the same thing I did. Like, I draw and I write songs and I perform and I put on little shows and I still put on shows, you know, just like, I just feel like I've been able to, you know, capture the stuff I did when I was younger, and I still get to do it, which not everybody can say that. So I do feel really lucky.
Was there a moment where you realized that the thing that was play could also be like a job, like a living?
Yeah. I mean, I really was into children's television. I mean, obviously when I was a kid, but as I was getting older, like in college, I really got into it. And I was like, oh, maybe I want to do something along those lines. But I was also really into toy design. So I was kind of going back and forth. And then I started making puppets. And I thought, okay, well, you know, that's maybe a way I could perform. Because I was a very shy kid. But to hide behind the puppets seemed like a sort of safe way to be a performer. And I was taking a lot of sculpture classes. I love sculpture. And I was making all these puppets and doing these shows. And then I was just like, oh, maybe... You know, maybe, and then I was like, oh, maybe I can do voiceover, because that, you know, doing puppet voices made me think that. And I'm like, and I still wouldn't have to be in front of the camera. And then finally, I just kind of like, I don't know, I did like a 180, and I was like, okay, I can perform in front of people. I'm not shy. But
what was your first acting gig?
Well, my first like paying gig was a commercial for moviephone.com. And and I'll never forget, I got to set thinking, oh my gosh, I have made it. Here we go. And they hired me and another girl because they couldn't decide between the two of us. And I've never heard of this happening since. I'm sure it does. But I was like, oh, so I maybe don't have this part. They're like, yeah, we're going to shoot it with you. And we're going to shoot it with this other girl. And then, you know, we'll figure out who gets the gig later. And I was like, this is crazy.
Aww.
And the and then
like,
I
why
remember,
wouldn't they just do it separately so you didn't know? Like,
I know.
Kind of
I remember
cruel.
I met the girl, and she was very nice, but definitely had more under her belt and was telling me all the things she'd been up to. And I was like, oh man. I'm like, well, this is my first job. And it was like somewhere in the valley. It was a hot summer day. And we had to eat caramello bars. And it was no talking. It was just a voiceover. And I remember her caramello bar melted in the funniest way, and everybody at Video Village was laughing so hard, and I was like, oh man, her candy bar melted. I hope my candy bar melts when I get to do this, and it didn't, and I was like, oh man, they're definitely going to go with the melty candy bar. But then turns out I got the gig, so it worked out. That was my first paying gig. But of course, the anxiety that goes along with that, it basically never goes away. There's always something where you're like, oh, I hope I do this right, you know?
So when I talk to you, you bring up the word anxiety pretty often.
Oh yeah,
but
it's
funny because I wouldn't necessarily think that, and probably people that don't know you well at all would just never imagine that you would suffer from any kind of anxiety or like, I don't know. I mean, is it? I like to ask people about self-generated obstacles. Like, yeah. do you have a hard time dealing with just your own inner struggles?
I think I've gotten much better about it as I've gotten older, and knock on wood, but like I had really bad OCD growing up, like where I'd have to like, you know, tap a thing three times and then the other way and keep it even. And my brother had it, my cousins, I guess it's hereditary, I don't know. And it was at one point in my life, in like middle school, high school, even in college, like especially if I had a big test coming up or something, it was paralyzing to me. And then I started to grow out of it a little bit, which is good. And now I don't, you know, it's more like I just have to check all the lights, which is, I think, a very common thing for a lot of people. Like, but it's not nearly what, like, I when I was a kid, I'd get home from school and I had a ritual where I had to touch every corner of every picture frame, but it had to feel right. And if it didn't, I had to start over again. And it would take me an hour, hour and a half to get through. Because also I had a ton of pictures in my room.
Yeah.
and so I just would have to go through. And they were all like old movie stars and things like that. It was like a very, it wasn't like, you know, NSYNC posters. It was like Humphrey Bogart and Babe Ruth. But like I would have to go through my whole room and do that. And it was just like, you know, crazy stuff. And it was very, I never told my parents like about that part of it. I'm sure they saw little ticks and things, but yeah, that kind of then just led into me being anxious. And I think in a lot of ways, I would just always like, you know, if an opportunity came up, my instinct would be like, oh, it's not going to work out. Or, mm-hmm. oh, that seems too hard. Or I would have to just really work my way out of that thinking. So I'd be like, yes, like, let's do it. I normally would say yes. Like I would know enough to try it, but I would have to go through this whole obstacle in my head before I could like get there, you know?
Yeah.
And I think I sometimes probably got in my way early on more. And now I just try to be way more open to things and be like, okay, you know, and I think I am more comfortable in my own skin in some way, but I guess that happens as you get older.
So. I mean, you must be, because you get up in front of audiences.
Yeah.
You do a lot. You put yourself out there.
I like to do things that scare me. You know, I think it's good. It's healthy. You know, to a point. You know, there are certain things you probably shouldn't do, but...
I think that's big. I think that's to challenge oneself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, and then, because I'll, you know, if you don't do that, then when, like, what do you have to write about? You know, like, or like feel in some way to like put into another thing. It's like fuel, just like getting fuel somehow, you know?
Yeah. It's funny. I think a lot about why am I making this thing? Am I making this thing because I want to make money off of this thing? That seems like a terrible reason for making a thing.
Yeah.
Or are you making it because you need to work something out or figure something out, or just for to make a thing of, I mean, when you sit down to write a song, I know there's reasons for writing the song, but do you find yourself kind of going to a meditative place? Do you find yourself really calculating sort of, I want to write a thing about, like, do you... What's,
you know,
your process, or is it all different?
And I think it used to be more different for me when, before I started making a living at it.
Yeah.
These songs would pour out of me. And I also feel like, I don't know, I think you've been very lucky to stay on your path in some way, and that you're writing songs and probably, I don't know, I'm sure it's changed since you were younger, but you're still writing them for you, for then an audience. Like, where I feel like, when I was in my 20s, I was just writing songs, and I don't know where they'd come from, and it was like, whoa, okay, you know, and it's like, and then it started to be like, oh, okay, with Garfunkel & Oates, it's very calculated. That's almost like math, because it's comedy, so it was, you know, you can't make the melody too melodic, because then if it's too pretty, it's not funny. Like, there's like a lot of like little things you have to think about, where it's like, sometimes it's funnier if it's more static and the same note or something, you know? So like it started to become like a math problem or something. And then, but
then when it's still fun,
it's still, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I would say it's just not as like You know how sometimes when you're writing a song and you feel like, oh, okay, how I can feel it's coming on. I got to figure, you know, I got to get to a piano or I got to write it down. And like with Garfunkel and Oates, it's more like, let's figure out the subject. Okay, what's funny about this? And we have documents. And then, you know, Ricky will go off and usually do a pass the lyrics based on the documents we've written. And then I'll take those lyrics and work on a melody. And then we kind of come back together and then it gets messy, but in a good way. But yeah, I feel like it's just such a different process. And for so long, that's kind of how we were writing. And lately I've been writing, you know, you talk about like writing for money, but like one of the things I can't talk about, but I can talk about it enough to say we have these songwriting assignments. And it's been so interesting and almost like a real learning experience in a great way, because we're writing, I've just had the most fun writing these songs. And it's, you know, it has to be about a certain subject and hit these notes and like not musical notes, like hit these educational notes and things like that. And it's a blast. And it's like, oh, wow, like I'm writing in a different way than I've written before. But it's fun. So I guess it's like, I think writing these songs for hire has been a very healthy thing in some way for me to go, oh, I can do that. And it still feels right, and it still feels true.
Yeah.
But you know, it's maybe not, you know, pouring my soul out.
I wonder how much having a collaborator, like a writing partner, I wonder how much, like when you're feeling anxious about your own thing, like is it really helpful to have somebody there who not only validates you but also kind of helps push you to do more stuff? The collaboration thing fascinates me.
I think, I mean, we kind of feel responsible for each other's time. Also, you know, it's like, we're also, I mean, Ricky and I have been working together for 12 years, I think.
Yeah.
And so we've really hit a point where, of course, we know how each other works. And it's like, you know, if we decide, okay, we're going to write today, we maximize that time, and it's good. It's, you know, we usually have like a, you know, 10, 15 minute talk of like friend talk and catch up, and then we dive into it, and it's great, you know. And then of course you have the days where you're just kind of hitting your head against a wall, and you know, you go for a walk around the block trying to figure it out. But I always feel like those days, and sometimes you have three or four in a row and you're like, oh my God, have I lost my ability to do anything? And then the next time it's like, ka-ching, and you write like a whole song in an hour, you know.
God, I love that.
So I feel like those like lost days kind of bank up in your brain somehow, and then it works itself out.
Yeah, maybe your subconscious is solving problems while your consciousness is just feeling frustrated.
Totally.
So finally, if you were, and I think maybe asking you this question has a significance that it might not for someone else, because you're really contemplating bringing someone into the world. If you were meeting a 21-year-old version of yourself who's working in today's world, what advice might you give yourself?
Gosh, I think I would, first of all, say don't, like, I don't feel like, once I figured out what I wanted to do, I really, it was hard to figure out how to work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I think, especially in this town in LA, like, people will go on a hike and have a coffee with someone and be like, oh, well, I did my actorly duty because I had a coffee with a person who gave me some advice or something. You know what? It's like, oh, but yeah, but how is that getting you to the next thing? You know? And I feel like I had to learn that wasn't going to get me anywhere. Like, you have to like make stuff. At least that for me, that was my path, is really things started to click once I was putting myself out there and doing shows and live shows and, you know, just getting up on a stage, like sometimes every night, depending on, you know, especially when Ricky and I first started working together, we were performing every night, just wherever we could to get better, you know? But yeah, I think I would say for like my 21-year-old self, at 21, I still hadn't dated. I still hadn't like really learned how to like do my own laundry. Like, I was like very shy and very sheltered. So, I mean, I guess there's a lot of things I would tell my 21-year-old self. But the big thing is, I would say don't miss out on your 20s as far as, I feel like creatively, I was just like a faucet. I just, you know, just like don't miss out on the stuff you make in your 20s, you know? Like, I don't, did you have that where you just like it's before you have any real responsibilities and it's before, I mean, I'm sure there are, of course, there are people who are lucky enough to be like totally successful at 20 or 21, but there was nothing, I didn't owe anybody anything. I was just making stuff and like, go with that and don't stop yourself and just keep, you know, that, I guess I would just say like, yeah.
Like that's a golden window.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
When it's like, okay to be poor.
And it's
the
freeing.
The stakes are low.
Yeah.
It's super freeing. Like, and you just do, and you've got nothing you have to live up to. Like people don't expect like, oh, God, I can't believe that, you know, I've loved everything she used to do. Now this thing, what the hell was this?
Yeah, it's like your first shot at things. So yeah, there is that. I would say, yeah, don't miss out on that stuff. And also like, yeah, I mean, I think not to be shy. I was really like, just be more, I would say put myself out there even more than I did, which I mean, I look back and I was pretty fearless. Like my first, I couldn't do what I, for that same reason you just said, like I couldn't do my act that I first did now because I'd be so embarrassed. But at the time, nobody knew who I was, and I was singing like a virgin through a snorkel, and I was making out with these bird puppets on stage, and like it didn't matter because nobody knew. They were just like, "What is this person doing?" And it was so fun for me. I mean, I hope the audience liked it, but like when I think back to my first act and the fact that I was doing that kind of stuff. There's like you can't go wrong. So like in your 20s, yeah, it's like it's your chance to try everything.
Yeah.
And without any, you know, consequences.
So, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you sitting down.
Thanks for coming on over to this weird apartment and talking to me.
I love getting to spend time with you, and I'm so excited to see what human being emerges from.
Me too. I'm knocking on wood.
You, I know, knock wood. It's
Yeah, I know. I hope he's a musical kid. He's been listening to a lot of show tunes because that's what I listen to. Oh, yeah, it's a he.
It's a he.
Oh, yeah, I gave it away. It's a he. That's okay. I've told everybody. I'm not being, we have, you know, Ricky and I are, one of our most popular songs is called Pregnant Women Are Smug. And I'm trying not to be. So yeah, I'm not holding any secrets.
I think you're doing fine. All right. Well, thanks so much, Kate McCucci.
Oh, thanks, Rhett. It was great talking with you.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to Wheels Off. Please be sure to rate and review the show on iTunes. That helps us appear higher in the search results and lets other folks know that it's a cool podcast to listen to. Also, as the kids say, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or anywhere else that you listen to shows like this so that you never miss an episode. This has been Wheels Off, and I'm Rhett Miller, encouraging you to create every day. Thanks, y'all.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search The Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.